Pray with me. Lord God, open your holy word by your Holy Spirit so that we, like Abraham, may believe your promises to us. May we be filled with awe, wonder, and trust as we ponder who you are, what you have done, and what you desire for us, your people. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I would like to encourage you to open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. These, my friends, are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Over the last few weeks, we have been going over the gospel, the good news, the kerygma together. My hope in this sermon series is that the gospel becomes so deeply ingrained inside of us, changing our lives, and then is available for us to proclaim so that others may hear from us this great news of salvation that God has for the people of this world. We have come to understand that the gospel includes four major themes: created, captured, rescued, and response. For the last 2 weeks, and also today, we are focusing on the first part of that gospel, created. So far in the created theme, we have covered the uniqueness of human beings, made in the image and likeness of God, and our capacity for reason and freedom. We've looked at the fantastic complementarity of men and women, the nature of humanity as beings in need, and God's provision as a good and generous Father to us. All of this, my friends, can be summed up in a few simple words. God made us to be loved and to love, as He defines love, and to live as He designed us to live. That, my friends, is where true happiness is found. To be loved and to love. Importantly, it is in that order being loved by God came first. We love because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Because of that, we can stop scheming to win God's love, as I did for many years. Many of us go through life worrying, I hope that I'm good enough to please God and win his love over. Friends, know this. Nobody is good enough. No one can win over or earn God's love. But God loves us anyway, and he gave us this great love by laying down his life and dying for us. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, God's wonderful, all-inspiring, and incredible creation, and his love is a gift. But what kind of being loves so richly, generously, and with such grandeur and power? Who is this God who created everything? To answer that, let's return to Genesis chapter 1. Hopefully, as we look at one straightforward verse, we'll be filled with wonder, awe, and trust in the one who made us to be loved and to love. Genesis chapter 1, verse 16 is a passage that's easy to skim over. Until last year, I didn't pay much attention to it. But increasingly, I find it to be one of the most extraordinary and humorous passages for contemplating God's grandeur. The passage begins, "And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night." That right there refers to the sun and the moon. Then, almost as an afterthought, it continues, "and the stars." I picture the writer of this passage putting quill to parchment and writing, "He made the sun, he made the moon," and then I imagine him looking up, pondering as if he's forgotten something. Suddenly it comes to him, "Oh yeah, I almost forgot he made the stars." Excuse me? He made the stars also? Do you have any idea how many stars there are? Let's talk about stars for a little bit. If we really think about a being who is capable of making stars, all the stars, we realize that God is incomprehensible. These three simple but profound words of Holy Scripture, "and the stars," are among the most incredible and helpful ways to break down that concept. Friends, the universe is roughly 46 billion light years across. That's 46 billion multiplied by almost 6 trillion. Our sun is one of approximately 100 billion stars in our own little galaxy. And there are roughly 100 billion galaxies in our universe. I don't know about you, but I'm unsure what to do with those giant numbers. I get lost in them. 100 billion stars in 100 billion galaxies. How absolutely huge is God's creation? And the author of Genesis, by the guidance of God, basically says, "Oh yeah, he made these stars too." I almost forgot to mention these few quadrillion things. Friends, when I hear numbers like that, my brain hurts. How can we better grasp what is being revealed here? I once listened to a high-energy particle astrophysicist who was giving a talk on the grandeur of God, and he explained a multitude of these numbers in this way. He said, "Imagine a sandcastle, where every single grain of sand represents a star in the known universe. How big would the sandcastle have to be to replicate the size of all the gathered stars in the universe if each single grain of sand was equivalent to one star? The sandcastle would have to be 5 miles long, 5 miles wide, and 5 miles high. That's mind-boggling. I'm a visual person and wanted to visualize this a little bit better. So one day, I went out and drove that distance. Picture it. I'm driving along with my head out the window, trying to see 5 miles up in the air, which is roughly equivalent to the tallest mountain on the planet. So there I am, driving 5 miles from my church, and then 5 miles over, and then 5 miles back. And the whole time I'm looking up, just trying to grasp this image of a massive sandcastle in which every single tiny grain of sand represents a star in our known universe. Absolutely staggering. And God created it all. Here's another image that might help. Our sun is a relatively small star. And yet our sun could hold roughly 960,000 Earths inside of it. One of the largest stars in the universe, Canis Major, which is Latin for the big dog, could hold 7 quadrillion Earths inside of it. That's one star that could hold 7 quadrillion Earths. That is absolutely massive. And what's a quadrillion? If our heads haven't exploded yet, let's try to grasp what a quadrillion is. If you started counting to 1 million right now, it would take you 11 and a half days to count that high. If you counted to 1 billion, it would take you 31 years. If you tried to count to a trillion, you wouldn't make it because it would take you 31,000 years to count that high. How about counting to 1 quadrillion? It would take you 31 million years to count to 1 quadrillion. Have you gotten a handle on a quadrillion? You can fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside the star of Canis Major. And that's just one of hundreds of billions of stars in the known universe. That is about 46 billion light years across and ever expanding. And God, effortlessly, out of nothing, created it all. Oh, yeah. He made the stars also. I almost forgot to mention that. What are the ramifications for us of this enormous, mind-boggling, and brain-rattling universe that God simply spoke into existence? There is one significant ramification. In this massive universe that is beyond our understanding, the creature that God loves more than all of creation is you. It's not simply us or humanity in general. God doesn't see numbers and crowds as we do. He sees individual human beings. God knows each and every one of us by our names. He knows every hair, or lack of hair, that's on our heads. But he knows us by name. That's why every single human person is essential to the Christian church. As I'm sure many of you do, I remember vividly where I was on 9/11. I was in my college dorm room with about 15 other people crowded around my 16-inch television. On the TV, I saw what looked like a plane flying into the World Trade Center. Suddenly, on that television, we saw utter chaos break out. People were screaming. The police were everywhere. And my friends and I stood there frozen, watching the horrific events that took place. A network anchor was in the middle of an update when someone handed him a note from off screen. He read it, and with great sadness, he looked into the camera and said, "I just learned that one of those planes was flying from Boston to Los Angeles. I'll bet there were some really important people on that plane." Some really important people? I'll never forget those words, and I was amazed at his gall. He probably imagined celebrities, athletes, and owners of significant businesses. But what about the teachers, the stay-at-home moms or dads, the receptionists, the police officers, or the plumbers on that flight? Brothers and sisters, Christians, there are no unimportant people. We are alive simply because God willed us and loves us into being. We are all important people to God, and because of that, all people from the womb to the tomb should be important to God's people and church. God knows everything about you, me, our neighbors, our families, our friends, and the strangers on the street. Not because God is spying on us through a keyhole, but because He, the God who breathed His incomprehensible universe into being with no effort whatsoever, is also a Father who cares about you and me beyond anything we can ever imagine. We, human beings, are the crown of His creation. Of all the stars, planets, galaxies, seas, mountains, out of it all, we are most important to God. When I began this sermon series on the gospel 3 weeks ago, we discussed the three most essential questions in life. Why am I here? Where am I going? How do I get there? The simple answer to all those questions is one word: love. But that's only the simple answer. So let's talk a bit about each one of those three questions. Why am I here? Why are you here? Because the Creator of this massive, incomprehensible universe, the God who breathed and spoke and willed entire galaxies into existence, chose to create you and me. I don't just happen to be here, nor do you. We're here because God created us out of His love. God loves you and me into being, and you were made for this moment. Where am I going? Where are you going? You, who were made in the image and likeness of God and are the highlight, the crown, and the pinnacle of everything He made, are meant to be like God. That is your destiny and the destiny of every human person. You are meant to share forever in God's abundant and everlasting life, joy, grace, and happiness. That is where you're meant to go. But that doesn't mean that everyone gets there. How do I get there? How do you get there? We get there through God's covenantal love and grace. That is God's salvific love for us, freely revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and our reception of the salvific love and grace is shown by our loving response to God and love for our neighbor. We get there, my friends, by the gift of God's salvation, grace, and faith given to his people as a gift. Those, my friends, are the short, simple answers. And even though many of us, simple people, would prefer that to be the end all, there is so much more to it that God desires his people to know and experience. But are you and I willing to take the time to get to know God and his ways? A friend of mine once said that the Holy Bible is healing. The account of our creation, unique in all of time and space, transmits a healing balm to us in some way. And today, if you can, go outside and look at the stars. Try to count them. Remind yourself that there are hundreds and hundreds of billions of stars. And know that the God who willed all of them into being has your life and the lives of all those you love in his hands. Does that alter your conception and image of God? Perhaps when you pray, you have an image of God in your mind. We nervously wonder if God can maybe or possibly do something to answer our anxious prayers about our own lives, the world, our family, our friends, our country, our neighbors, and our church. Maybe? Know that whatever limited image our minds can create, they are wrong. God, who is never nervous, anxious, or worried, but is powerful and majestic beyond all understanding, holds your life firmly in the palm of his hand. Picture the struggles in your life. Illness, anxiety, relationships, financial troubles, wars and rumors of wars, and all the things that keep you up at 3 a.m. And know that you can relax. Really. The Holy Scriptures tell us, casting all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. 1 Peter 5:7. Friends, God cares about you. God created and runs this immense universe, and nothing is more important to him than you and me. He can take care of our lives, so trust him to do so. The creator of the whole universe knows and loves you. Not only when you are behaving yourself and doing all the things that he tells you and I to do, but he loves us all the time. God desires to say to you, you are my child. I love you. Your life is in my hands. Don't be afraid. When I began today's message, I encourage you to pray for the graces of wonder and trust. Do you feel them? Do you sense God's immensity and power? Do you feel his love and really believe that you matter to him? For you do. God thinks that you are worth the trouble, and that is another main point of the creation accounts in Genesis. That's what it means to be created in God's love. That out of all the immensity of God's good creation, God loves you the most, and you are worth dying for. Jesus Christ, the second person of God, the Holy Trinity, God in the flesh, didn't die for the stars. He died for you. May you not only feel that love, but experience it. And then may you praise God for his wondrous creation and love and sacrifice in every aspect of your life. That is my prayer for you today. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. As those come forward who will help us in praising our Creator and the One who loves us, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the earth and the stars and the seas and the animals. We thank you, Lord, for all that you provide, all that you are. We thank you, Lord, that you not only have created them, but by your providence, Lord, you keep everything going. And Lord, in the hugeness of all of this, you, O Lord, love us by name. God, we ask that we would praise you all the more for it. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.